providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am going to be focusing a bit more on silver and uranium, as I am chatting with Steve Penny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. I've been chatting with Steve now for a couple months, and I've been reading over all the content he sends out to his subscribers, and I've been very impressed. Steve balances out technicals and fundamentals and really breaks down the charts in a simple way, and has been fairly accurate on stock picking and also directions, key levels to watch when it comes to these different sectors. As I mentioned, Steve, we're going to be focusing on silver and uranium, starting off with silver. Look, silver has been really trading in a range during this last 7 months, and it's, for the most part, let's say, right in the middle part of its range right now. The range goes down to about $20 and up to about $30, rounding off. And right now, as we're recording this, we're right around $25. I've heard from a number of other technicians that I brought on the show that $22 is a reasonable level to think that silver might correct to. And really, when you look at the chart since February of that silver squeeze spike, silver has been in a downtrend, consistently lower highs and lower lows. However, we have recently bounced off that low at the very tail end of March at $23.74. What are you seeing for silver here, Steve?
Yeah, I think you summarized it really nicely. We've been in a nice range between $21.80 on the low end and $30 on the high end, and we're squarely in the middle of that today. And, you know, I want to preface that, you know, everyone wants to know what's the short-term price direction here. And that's certainly important, and there's a place for that. But I think more important than short-term predictions is having a personalized strategy to deal with a variety of different outcomes. So I just want to preface by saying that. But the price action in silver has been somewhat encouraging over the last 2 weeks. As you described, there's been a short-term downtrend channel that really began the first week of February. And this week, we broke out above that downtrend channel, and we're back above a rising 200-day moving average. So that's constructive. The next hurdle to get above would be the 50-day moving average, which coincides with an area of resistance around $26. So if we get above like $26.86, to be specific, that would break that series of lower highs and really begin to make this chart look even more constructive. But as of right now, yeah, we are in that trading range.
So then, Steve, what do you see as potential catalysts for silver and even the underlying silver stocks? Because we have seen a general fade in silver stocks recently.
Yeah, we have. So a catalyst, I think everyone's looking for the Fed to unveil some kind of yield curve control or some more aggressive monetary policy. I think that's more of a when question as opposed to an if question. So that's certainly a catalyst that looms. But it could be the supply-demand fundamentals are really beginning to assert themselves. We could see some news stories about that gain traction, maybe in the mainstream media, about like the Perth Mint shortages and some of these unallocated accounts being unable to make delivery. So that's another potential catalyst. There's really a ton of catalysts for silver. But as a technical analyst, I really look at the charts because price and volume tend to precede the news.
They absolutely do. What have you seen in terms of volume then in the sector?
We haven't seen really, I'm looking at a chart here, and the last big volume we saw was on the silver squeeze back in February. So as we've kind of grinded lower, it's been on lower than average volume. So that's somewhat constructive. But on this breakout this past week, the volume has not been, you know, anything to write home about. So whenever I see a breakout, my eyes immediately go down to the bottom of the chart and for volume. And if I see a high volume breakout, that adds confirmation. And we honestly have not seen that this past week.
Really just goes to show this kind of grinding nature, this choppiness back and forth trading within this range, but then taking into account kind of a longer term look, moving from, say, a daily chart to a weekly chart or even down to a monthly chart. The silver price has run a lot, right? We are not in the teens anymore. We're up in the mid-20s. This all could be setting up for another leg higher. How do you view the longer term moves considering, again, silver was stuck in the teens for years?
Yeah. So one of my good friends says to accumulate quiet markets. And rather than trying to like nail the bottoms, I try and think of things in like buy zones and sell zones. So I think anything below like, say, $26 silver is well within the buy zone for those with a longer term time horizon. I think you'll look back on, you know, this period a year or two from now and say, wow, I wish I could go back and buy silver near those levels. So if you got that kind of longer term time horizon, I think that we're clearly in a buy zone. Even though we could, there's an outside possibility that we fall back towards 22. I think that's unlikely, but in the larger scheme of things, that's pretty irrelevant.
How are you balancing out your portfolio when it comes to silver majors and minors and silver juniors?
Yeah, great question, because there's a lot of, you can really outperform by paying attention to ratios. So I think of the precious metals complex of being broken down into like six subcomponents. You got the physical metals, the two physical metals, the senior gold miners, senior silver miners, junior silver miners, and senior silver miners. So I look at ratios to see where what's most undervalued right now. And junior silver miners continue to be the most undervalued component of the whole precious metals complex, although it's not to the extent that it was, you know, last year around March. But I think the most upside is to be had in the junior silver mining.
Any stocks that you want to share with us, whether they are some of the juniors or some of the larger miners?
Sure. So one that I track very closely is First Majestic Silver, because it's kind of the bellwether. Anyone who's tracking silver miners probably tracks First Majestic Silver. And one thing really noteworthy about the chart for First Majestic is not only last week did it come back and backtest its major breakout level at $14.57 and then rallied off of that. So that's bullish price action right there. But it also, as it approached the apex of this really well-defined symmetrical triangle pattern, it broke out to the upside. And now it's back above a rising 50 and 200-day moving average. So First Majestic continues to look really well. And that's often a leading indicator for the rest of the junior silver miners.
Okay, let's move over to uranium, because look, uranium has come onto a lot more people's radar. There is kind of this underlying uranium bull, or let's call them uranium bugs, kind of like gold bugs that are always focused on uranium, trying to make a bullish argument. But there seems to be a much larger population over the last year, let's say, that has moved into these uranium stocks. For the uranium sector broadly, what is your outlook?
So I am extremely bullish on uranium. Over at the Silver Chartist Report, I like to say we're laser focused on silver, uranium, and gold. And I like to tell precious metals folks, specifically silver folks, hey, take a look at uranium, because if you like silver, you're probably going to like uranium. And the same goes for uranium investors. Hey, if you like uranium, you'll probably like the silver market as well. They have a lot in common. And what I like about uranium is it's really just a pure supply-demand story. Sure, Fed monetary policy and all that affects it, but it's really just comes down to supply demand. And the bottom line is that nuclear is a growth industry. At some point, there's going to need to be much increased supply. And in order for that supply to come online, that spot price is going to have to rise towards $50, probably significantly higher than that. And we're currently around $30. So it's more of a when, not if question with uranium. And as that price rises, there's so few companies for people to put their money in. It's such a small sector. Last I checked, there was like 70 pure play uranium miners globally, and they're all very small market cap. So when big money tries to come into this sector, you can see really explosive moves to the upside. And we're seeing signs that we're on the early innings of a sustained bull market in uranium.
So in all fairness, we've already seen some pretty explosive moves in large and small uranium companies. It is a smaller sector out there when it comes to the overall stocks, but do you think the stocks have gotten a little ahead of themselves considering the moves in the uranium price?
I do. That's one of the biggest questions we get from our members is, hey, I'm new to this uranium story. I see the bullish thesis. So what do I do? Do I buy these stocks after they've doubled and tripled over the last few months? And it's a totally fair question. Almost all of the stocks are overbought technically on the monthly and weekly charts. They've pulled back a little bit on the daily chart, but they are overbought. So there's no denying that. So what I would personally do, of course, I don't give advice, but what I would consider doing is maybe taking a portion, you know, buying a third of your desired shares now, and then, you know, looking to scale in on weakness. So that's my personal approach.
Yeah, I know you really do advocate that scaling in approach, which I think is smart, and it really plays to a longer term strategy rather than going all in and having some potentially sleepless nights. When you combine uranium and silver, you're saying that those investors should be attracted to both of those resources. Why and what similarities do you see?
Yeah, there's so many similarities. So the spot price right now is very similar. Both are right around 30 bucks. You know, a couple of weeks ago, uranium was down around 27 and silver was at 26. So pretty close in spot price. Both have an intermediate term target of around $50. And both are very small markets with tremendous upside. And they're very, very volatile. So a lot of similarities there. So a question I get all the time is, you know, which has more upside, silver or uranium? And one key difference between the two is that uranium is actually very abundant in the Earth's crust, where silver is scarce. However, uranium is a smaller market. So let's assume silver goes to 50 and uranium goes to 50 at the same time. Of course, that's, you know, just for example here. I think the uranium miners would likely outperform on that run up to 50. But once you get above $50 uranium and higher, a lot of supply can come online. So once we start getting, you know, above $50, I think silver becomes more of a longer term, has more longer term upside. But on the way to 50, I think uranium miners could outperform.
What are some of the differences between uranium and silver, just so we're not looking at one side of this argument?
Well, I mean, silver is, they're both industrial metals, but silver, really the key driver is going to be when investment money comes in. And so, you know, when the market starts to view silver as a monetary metal and the investment demand comes in, you know, that's going to be the big driver, where uranium, it's just supply demand. I mean, you know, these nuclear power reactors are coming online. I believe there's like over 100, if I remember correctly, that are scheduled to come online in the next few years. So they're different drivers.
Very different drivers. Do you see similarities, though, in terms of what could actually be price moves for the two different resources?
Upside, like longer term here. I'm not talking anytime in the short term. I'm not talking in the next quarter or two. But, you know, I think longer term, and I don't mean to sound sensational here, but I think, you know, over the next 7-8 years, silver could get to $300 an ounce. And I come by that just by taking an average of the last two bull markets and applying the same returns over the same period of time. I don't think uranium is going to go to $300 a pound. So silver has much more upside over the longer term. But uranium, you know, there's a lot of money to be made between where we are now and $50 uranium.
Okay. Hey, Steve, we'll wrap it up here. Very interesting hearing what you have to say. And again, it's very interesting reading over your newsletter and how much content you send out to your subscribers, especially how much is actionable advice as well. Steve, I really appreciate you taking time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. And please go back through the week. It was a very busy week of editorials, lots of company updates, lots of analysis on a number of different markets. And please keep all those emails coming. Fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from each and every one of you. I hope you all have a very great weekend. And Steve, you and I will be chatting again soon.
Look forward to it.